This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And Nick Dowd forcing it up the middle. Wilson was trying to feed Ovechkin, but in tight quarters, Ovechkin got it away. He scores! A backhander from the red line! He did it! Ovechkin scores from long distance! It's goal 886, and it's 4-2 Washington!
That was John Walton on the call yesterday as the Caps 4-2 winners over the Seattle Kraken. And as you heard right there from John Walton, old number 886, goal number 886 for old Alex Ovechkin, nine shy of breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. It was Ovi's 33rd goal on the season as the Caps continue to roll. Winners of four in a row, now a cushiony 11-point lead in the Eastern Conference. They're tied with Winnipeg overall for the most points in the NHL. They are sprinting towards the end of the regular season as they try to, you know, hopefully go into the Eastern Conference playoffs and not get upset. Still a good opportunity for them to walk away with the President's Cup trophy. So we'll see, you know, how they're able to conclude here in the regular season. But a fun season nonetheless for the Washington Capitals. It's going to be a fun week. Fun couple of days coming up here in NFL free agency. Make sure you keep it locked right here on the Team 980 all day long as the legal tampering period officially gets underway at noon Eastern time today. All news that happens relative to the Washington Commanders, we'll give it to you as soon as it happens. So make sure you keep it right here. It was a crazy weekend in the NFL ahead of free agency. Geno Smith traded to Vegas. DK Metcalf traded to the Steelers. Myles Garrett stops bluffing and signing his contract with the Cleveland Browns. And then a pass rushing target that Washington, I know, was looking at signs in New England, talking about Harold Landry for Washington. Still a couple of housekeeping notes to get to before they actually get to the legal tampering period. A couple of guys that I still expect to get signed here before noon. Washington pretty busy over the weekend, though. They put pen to paper with Zach Ertz on a one-year deal worth up to $6.5 million. We know we saw the Bobby Wagner signing right before the weekend. Zane Gonzalez, the kicker, was signed to a one-year deal as well. They tendered Chris Rodriguez over the weekend. Late last night, was it early this morning, we saw a deal with Tressway. He inked a one-year deal. And then this has been the most interesting one to me, and I'm happy, and I think it's probably like the third most impactful signing that they've had to this point. John Bates putting pen to paper on a three-year deal to stay here in Washington, the only multi-year deal that's been given out thus far here in the early portion of free agency as Washington tries to do their damnedest to keep their guys in-house. Before we get to a series of tweets that were sent out by a couple of probably former Commanders, Denton, your thoughts quickly on the John Bates and Tressway thing. I think for Bates, huge that he was brought back. We kind of both predicted that they needed to do that. Happy that they got it done.
So I have thoughts. I want to start somewhere else though, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We are doing a show, you and I. We are on from 10 to 1. Very rarely, unfortunately, does news break during our show.
Yes.
But we like it when it does. Twitter is not working right now.
Wait, it is the beginning, I haven't been able to check it out.
It is the beginning of the legal tampering period. And yeah. I pulled it up on the desktop in front of me. I pulled it up on the second desktop in front of me because Daddy got two screens over here. I pulled it up on my phone. Twitter is not working. How is it going to go down on the day of legal tampering when we are going to be filled with news throughout the course of these 3 hours, some related to our team? I'm sure there's going to be some news related to teams that we don't like very much, but we still need to give the news to our audience, and the number one way of sharing that news is down.
Yeah, I'm trying to at the team 980 right now.
Nothing.
My pre-show tweet. No, nothing will come up.
Nothing. I can't pull up a feed. So, I tried to tweet out the show. I can't get anything.
So to your credit, this just shows how that you're more sharper than me right now this morning, because I was going through hell to get here. I didn't even realize how bad it was when you initially said it. You were like, Twitter's down. And I was like, eh, no big deal. But no, like, it's actually the
worst. No, it's actually a massive deal. If this was yesterday, you know, I'll get the notifications. Wow. I'm watching television at that point. But now, during the show, a very important thing that we need to work. Like, how am I going to know if Dante Fowler tweets again about being disrespected? How am I going to know if De'Ami Brown tweets again about not getting a contract here?
Can I tell you, like, a self-talk I was having with myself last night? I said, okay, we're going to be on. I want us to be, me and Denton, to be the place people go tomorrow around noon, even starting at 10 when we start the show, to give people the information. And I'm probably the only sicko in this building that has the tweet notifications on of every NFL insider that's ever tweeted anything. So we were going to kick B. Mitch and Finley's ass when it came to breaking the news, but we don't even have Twitter.
We don't even have
this
Twitter.
This is horrible. I didn't even realize how bad it actually was until I tried to go tweet my little video that I've been doing, and now...
Yeah, like, what if Jeremy Chin was going to tweet his displeasure with not getting a contract? How would we know that?
We would not
He would know. Join the trifecta of people that are seemingly very angry, although Chin might be a little bit more justified than the other two, but whatever.
So, what do we do? I'm on ESPN right now. I have their, like, live tracker open, but Lord knows how live it actually is. They're probably getting stuff up there 10,
yeah, what about when
minutes?
Somebody else breaks the news?
It's
not them. I got to pull up Blue Sky. Does Blue Sky still exist? People on the Blue Sky app or no?
People tweeting on Blue Sky. What do you call it? Skying?
Sky, whatever that is.
I don't know
called.
What to call it, but that is awful. Damn. Well, we do have some information for you as we were sharing it. John Bates, the only multi-year deal that's been given out. We were going to get to it here momentarily, but I guess Denton kind of already segued us into it. Real quick before we get to Fowler and De'Ami Brown, who I'm sure you all know, I'm sure the Junks talked about it this morning, just how salty they were on social media last night. The John Bates thing, though, I think is huge. You needed to bring him back. I still anticipate 15 to 16 of our in-house guys coming back. Now, obviously, the market is going to change for some of these dudes. And I think Washington and Adam Peters and company are pretty purposeful in what they're doing right now. I think the market is all over the place in a lot of different positions. You're hearing tackle. The market is going to be a situation where guys get overpaid. Guard, you're hearing guys are going to be overpaid. The safety position is something that I'm looking at. So, it's interesting to see that Washington has only brought back to this point, right? To this point, only 6 of their 27 unrestricted free agents. So some more moves I would damn sure, you know, forecast or expected to happen. Who it's going to be, I don't know. I know who it's not going to be. De'Ami Brown and Dante Fowler. I want to read it right from my phone so I don't mess it up. Unfortunately, it's actually on Twitter, so who knows if I'll actually be able to get to the tweet. But, oh, here it goes. Dante Fowler, 14 hours ago at 8:01 p.m. last night. What was I doing at 8:01 p.m. last night? I think I was getting ready to take one of the naps that I took last night that had me up all this morning. But I see the tweet. I caught it live. I didn't catch the deleted tweet, but I caught the actual tweet live. It says, the disrespect, I can't take it anymore. Fowler also tweeted before that, how do I read this without giving out all the expletives? I got to actually find it first. Basically, in a nutshell, Fowler was angrily tweeting at, I don't know if it was at the fans or if it was at the Commanders, saying, hey, look, I have the numbers of the guys that you glaze, to use the term that the folks in our demographic use. And then De'Ami Brown quote tweets the second tweet about the disrespect, saying exactly 100 emoji. I normally don't do this, but I guess I have done this pretty often. I don't like when guys move this way. Let me just start there. For a team last year in Washington that I thought did a tremendous job building culture in an environment where folks were considered selfless, like I thought things like this weren't possible because of that. But Dante Fowler, who, and correct me if I'm wrong, Denton, I didn't expect Dante Fowler to be back. I think I was talking about this during the season, about how his sack numbers are getting to the point where it's like, okay, he's going to expect some ridiculous number. Push comes to shove, his Dan Quinn and company clearly, you know, gave him a number that he wasn't respected, that wasn't a respectable number to him, I guess, and now we're in a situation where he's going to get to go talk to other teams. I tweeted it last night. I don't even know if it was directed towards the Commanders. Anybody that wants to believe that the legal tampering period, oh, it opens at noon and they're just now talking to other teams at noon, you're beside yourself. I'm wondering if that was directed towards Washington, or is that a reaction of his agent sniffing around and figuring out what type of numbers he's going to actually garner on the open market?
Just a couple things here. Yeah. We need to make sure he wasn't pulling an Eric Bledsoe. You remember in the NBA a couple years ago, Eric Bledsoe tweeted, I hate it here. And everyone thought he was trying to get out of Phoenix. And then like 2 days later, he was like, no, I was in a bad barbershop.
Yeah, right.
And we're like, all right, buddy, like enough with that. I didn't see the first tweet.
I just got a tweet notification.
There we go.
So maybe Twitter is back up.
I didn't see the first tweet about him not or putting up the numbers. But the problem with that is that we are intelligent.
Yeah.
The fans are getting smarter and smarter about football the more access that we have to football. So it's very easy to just look at his box score and say, wow, he had double-digit sacks. They should give him a lot of money. But everyone is also very much aware that, hey, you weren't the best in the run. You couldn't set an edge. You played 16 snaps in the NFC Championship game. What level of respect should we be giving you? Because if you want the money that's being rumored for Sweat, for whatever Harold Landry got.
You better not think that's what type of money.
Like Hendrickson, if he's looking for big money, buddy, we watched the games.
Yeah. I don't
like
think
we saw what you were doing. The numbers are great. We appreciate it. You had a good year. There's no one that should say that he didn't have a good year.
Yeah.
He was on a 1 year contract at double digit sacks. It's very impressive.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
But this is not a long-term thing because you lack in a very important element that this defense just so happened to be astonishingly bad at.
So his argument was, well, I don't play a lot of snaps. He was 58th via PFF in total snaps. He had PFF credits him with 11 because their sack system is weird. I think he officially had 10.5. But this is what gets me. And we know we don't subscribe to PFF numbers all the time, but when they're bad, they're bad. A 50 run grade, 170th out of 211 edge rushers last year. The overall grade, a 62-1, is 100th out of 211 edges. So I was saying it last year down the stretch when he was starting to heat up and get the numbers that, hey, like it's cool that, you know, he can beat the tackle every now and then with speed, but like in the run game, he is quite literally a liability.
He hurts
this team. Yes. He literally hurt this team last year in the run. So the idea, and I'm not surprised by the sentiment. I'm surprised that his dumb ass decided to take it to Twitter. And now gloves are off with me because this is stupid. You look like an ignorant ass clown, and now you look selfish. And then De'Ami. De'Ami is where I get pissed off. The moment you start rooting for a guy, the moment you start talking good about somebody, they act a damn fool. What do you mean exactly? What respect has De'Ami Brown garnered in the National Football League? Huh? Yeah, I understand that big-time players, make big-time plays and big-time situations. All that's fine and dandy. You had 30 catches last year, bucko. 30. And I'm supposed to sit here and kiss the ring and pay you whatever you're supposed to want? Come on, Diami. Wake up. Cliff praised you for, you know, the way that you handled yourself. You're showing more maturity. That's great. Doesn't mean you're in line for some big-time deal. And here's the other thing. I can give a rat's ass what the wide receiver market currently says. You're not those guys. Of the guys that are probably going to get overpaid here in the next couple of days, you have the worst statistics.
He doesn't even have 1,000 yards.
He didn't have 1,000 yards for his career. He's going on year 5 in the NFL. But I got to read tweets and quote tweets about exactly and how you're being disrespected. They had to go sign Noah Brown, someone that got cut. Because your ass didn't show enough. But I was supposed to sit here and act as if you're the second coming of Jerry Rice.
I mean, these are the numbers for Diami. 59 catches, 784 yards, 4 touchdowns. You hear those, you're like, wow, those are great numbers.
For a season.
For a season. That's his career.
Yeah. So
he did that in 63 games.
That's why I'm
like,
not.
I know he had a really good performance in the first two postseason games, and I applaud you for that. But you got to be a really silly organization to pay a guy a substantial amount of money for 2 games. That's what this organization was doing 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Thankfully, that is not what this organization is doing now. You need to show a sustained period of getting better and growth. When there's other guys available, like a Deebo Samuel, like some of these dudes that are available in the NFL draft, those are far better options than paying Diami Brown upwards of... What? I mean, if Tutu Atwell got $10 million a year.
What, do you think he's going to get 12?
Like, Diami's probably asking for 12 or 15, and that's not going to happen.
And here's the thing. I wasn't just talking out of my wazoo when I said everyone else that's going to get overpaid has better numbers. Tutu Atwell, although the numbers may not be that much better, he's been more productive than Diami throughout his career. He had 42 catches last year to Diami's 30. So I know it's not that much more, but career numbers, 99 catches, 1,300 yards, same amount of touchdowns. But the point is, I understand the frustration. Let me not, like, get it misconstrued. Like, I get why maybe they feel slighted. But, like, that's not the way you handle it. How many times I've felt slighted in the workplace and I've handled it the wrong way? Maybe once or twice.
you're spitting game right now.
I haven't gone on a tweet war. You know, I haven't got myself fired and have my coworkers looking at me stupid because I'm tweeting stupid stuff. Like this to me, I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for, especially because the production simply is just not there. And if we're talking about it from an X's and O's standpoint, these were two guys, pat myself on the back, that I knew they weren't going to be back here because I knew they would have strong markets. That's no shame to them.
No, I want Diami to go get his money somewhere else.
Yeah, I think he may be an end-of-the-week guy.
And I want someone to pay him. Like, I want both of those things. I just don't want it in this organization.
Exactly.
Because I understand the value there. But if somebody else, Tennessee, New England, Jacksonville, you know, one of those bottom-tier organizations wants to go pay him, go pay him. Go pay him. This organization is moving to get better. How can we match up and get better against your Philadelphias, your Detroits, although we beat Detroit, obviously, but against the teams that are at the top of this conference? And the unfortunate reality is that you don't necessarily need a Dante Fowler or a Diami Brown while paying substantial money to do that. You got to go get other guys if you're going to pay substantial money to. So it really is, I understand it. They see their friends getting paid and they're like, why am I not getting paid? I feel like that's a natural human reaction.
For sure.
But you got to put the Twitter fingers away. Nothing good. Nothing good has come from Twitter like that.
Ever.
Literally ever.
Is that the behavior? I'm gonna get even deeper with it because old DQ and loving the death for it. I made fun of it after week one when they lost to Tampa, but then it clearly felt like they were getting behind all the messaging that was on the T-shirts and the bumpers and painted across the building. Is the behavior of those two last night on Twitter, is that the behavior of a commander? An organization that's prided itself on being selfless the past year?
Of a commander. That's a good one there. You're going to fire people up. If Twitter was seriously working, your DMs would be filled right now by saying of a commander.
Well, and now since I have 0 followers, I'm following 0 people. I just got a shefty tweet notification, though, that Evan Ingram's visiting Denver. That may be the joker that old Sean Payton's looking for. But hopefully my tweet notifications keep coming through like this so I can announce any news.
This will be the new catchphrase for Dan Quinn. No Twitter fingers.
Yeah.
You know, Ted Lasso had the believe sign in the locker room. Dan Quinn's going to put up no Twitter fingers in the locker room. Don't take it to Twitter.
I was stunned by it, Dan. I was. And normally, like, when I'm laying down in bed last night reading it, I'm like, I'm geeking low-key. It's kind of funny. Because he deleted it, so he's like, okay, he's salty. For you to go and type it out, it makes you feel better, then you quick delete. Okay, but if you're going to quick delete, don't leave it up long enough for someone to catch it, because your ass is grass, Dante.
Now, you got to, like, you got
to
pull
trying to be slick.
You got to pull the Notes app up.
Yeah.
And, like, if you got to type it out, pull the Notes app up. Text your homeboy. You know, text your mom. Like, I don't text somebody
send a
that's
voice message.
Yeah, text somebody that's literally just not the world. Because putting it out there only makes you look a little silly.
Yeah, it does. And, like, the old thing of, oh, I'm going to follow DQ wherever he goes and this and that. I love playing for DQ. I love it here. You don't love it here that much, or else you wouldn't. Well, I don't want – that's the other thing. I don't want them to take a low offer. Like, I think Washington is being strategic. I think they want their guys that they're, like, on the fence about to go test the market, because I think Adam Peters and company, and this isn't a slight to them, I think it just speaks to the state of free agency with the cap booming. I don't think there is a clear understanding league-wide of what the market is. I think other teams are waiting to see, well, if you're willing to pay him this much, maybe I'll pay him this much. And I think specifically at positions like wide receiver and edge, and this is my thing with Fowler and Brown too. I know his ass didn't see Myles Garrett get $40 million and think, this is my chance. Like,
what am I going to get?
Yeah, like, no, it's not the case.
Like, bro, you're probably going to get, like, 6 or 7, all right? Like, slow your roll a little bit. Myles Garrett's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Come on.
Like, all right? So, like, we just got to slow down a little bit here.
It was crazy to think. I hope for both of those guys' sake that they get what their value is. I'm also not going to rule out either of them coming back. They may be later in the week signings when they go out and talk to other teams and other teams humble them and say, hey, look, we're not going to give you that much or get close to what you're looking for. Maybe they think, well, the grass is not greener on the other side, and we'll come back to Washington, and then we'll get to ask them.
They're
about
also
it.
At two positions that this offseason are incredibly deep.
Yes.
Both in Very the true. Free agent market and in the draft.
Yeah.
So the teams have all the leverage in that. It's not like they are a quarterback or like a great tackle or something like that, where a lot of different teams could say, I need one of those guys
right.
immediately. You're a defensive end that does not seal the run very well.
And you're 30.
And you're a wide receiver that has a very similar route tree to that of DeSean Jackson. I like DeSean Jackson. You know how many deep ends DeSean Jackson ran? Not a lot. He was going straight, or he was getting a screen pass. That's basically all. Diami has a little bit more than that, but not a lot.
No, he does not. Of those two, Denton, before we hit our first time out of the hour, which one would you want back more?
I would rather have Fowler.
Wow.
Just because
you, actually caught
you
me
could
off guard with that.
You could put him in like packages.
There's a role
and say,
for him.
go yeah. get it. When it comes to Diami, yeah, Terry, you got Debo now.
Yeah.
Please, Luke McCaffrey, get better this year. You're probably bringing Noah Brown back.
Yeah.
Maybe bringing Jamison Crowder back. And there's a lot of options in the NFL draft that you're likely going to get more production from.
I'm good. I second that statement. I think Fowler, just because his role is more important, I probably want to have him back as well. My gut feel, though, here quickly, I don't think either of them come back. I think they're both replaced. If we saw the tweet, I know that handsome blue-eyed devil Adam Peters saw the tweet. 301-230-0980, the number right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Lynnell Willingham, Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin. He's back with you on Wednesday. The legal tampering period officially opens in the National Football League coming up at noon. Washington with a couple of marquee signings over the weekend. John Bates and Tress Way put pen to paper. They still got 26 guys, I believe, that are still considered unrestricted free agents, but that number's dropped significantly. I think it's 24. Of the in-house free agents that haven't signed, which one would you care about losing the most? It's the best way that I could put it. That's next. You're on the Team 980.